Good morning and welcome to the Angels Podcast. The Angels Guild is a World of Warcraft guild on the Trelian server, and we appreciate very much your listening to our podcast today. It's another Tuesday, which means the servers are down, and our typical break. I've seen no indication that the patch is going in today. It seems like, as far as our server goes, just a regular maintenance day. There are some unusual things going on. There's a list of servers that are being transferred from one site to another. They're going to be down for about 18 hours today. And some of the other realms that are on the same server that these are being transferred from are going to be down for a total of 12 hours today. And so I guess we can just count our lucky stars that our server is not on either one of those lists and should be back up at the normal time today. I guess it's possible they could surprise us and put the patch in, but again, there's no indication that I've seen either on the site or announcements or the boards that 1.11 is being put in today. Well, let's do what we always do. First of all, let's go through the news. We'll begin with the World of Warcraft news generally, then we will talk about the guild news. And I've got a couple of items I want to talk about, just personal viewpoints. And then in our feature today, I want to talk about group roles. In other words, the basic setup of groups and the responsibilities of each class. Let's look at the World of Warcraft news then. One of the most interesting items that came out this week that ran across is a comment. It's just a two-sentence comment by one of Blizzard representatives on the boards that they are moving towards outdoor PvP objectives, which we will first see, they say, in 1.12. Now, from what I understand, 1.12 is going to include an upgrade of the Rogue class, and it's going to include some of these outdoor PvP objectives. What is an outdoor PvP objective? It's an objective outside of an instance, and it involves PvP. So, in other words, right now, they have instances, the battlegrounds, where you have PvP objectives. But beginning in 1.12, the Burning Crusade expansion, there will be outdoor PvP objectives. I don't know how these are going to work. I don't know what's going to be involved in them. But like I say, it's just a two-sentence statement. I'll read you the two sentences. We're moving more towards outdoor PvP objectives, the first of which you will see in 1.12. The Burning Crusade expansion will continue this even further. Oh, almost sneezed. Okay, I did sneeze. Excuse me. The Burning Crusade expansion will continue this even further and integrate the objectives as a core purpose of specific areas within the zone. So they're going to set aside specific areas within outdoor zones that will have PvP objectives. And this will be quite interesting, and I don't know how that will integrate into normal servers. My thinking is that it will probably include or be an area kind of like the current arena is down in Stranglethorn Vale, where when you enter that outdoor area, you are open to PvP and there will be objectives there. So that's something to look forward to think about. We'll see what happens in that regard. Another piece of wild news, and boy, I don't know what it is about my sinuses today, but they're really acting up. Another piece of wild news, the character transfer service, they stated this week, is slated to go live sometime this summer. They don't have a specific lock date, but they are saying now, sometime this summer. Well, today This is June, summer. so we'll see what happens in that regard, and whether or not they follow through on that. Because I know a lot of people are anxious to see that happen. We commented a little bit on this last week, but I'll just reiterate, when that does take place, what that means is that if you have a character on another realm of the same type, you can transfer that character to your new realm. You cannot create a character and build him up on a normal realm and then transfer him to a PvP realm. That is our current understanding of how that will work. If you create a character on a normal realm and then you change realms, I imagine that they will charge a price, but you will be able to transfer your character. Sometime this summer, they're saying that is to go into effect. Well, are you looking for a job? Blizzard has two positions open, a lead tools programmer and a web software engineer. And just thought I'd throw that in as part of their news. And then finally, the last item from the website, and something that affects our realm. All of us know yesterday the server lag really began to come back. This is a recurring problem we've seen on the realm. Let's see, a week ago Sunday, they restarted the realm because of it. It looked like to me yesterday they probably should have done that again yesterday, but probably didn't because of maintenance today. And I don't know if the pattern holds true. It looks like getting towards the end of the week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that the realm lag slowly begins to increase. This week it wasn't as bad as last week. Last week, I would hit a button for an instant cast spell and it would be 5 seconds before it fired off. This week, you know, maybe a second and a half. But still, there's some kind of problem they need to work out there, and people are talking about it, but Blizzard is not really saying a whole lot about it other than the fact that they are aware of it. Well, let me move now from World of Warcraft news to talking about guild news. And I know that some of the officers this week, including our illustrious guild leader, Sweet, have been talking about the future of the guild. We're in the early days of the guild. We popped over 400 last week. However, we took our first step at trimming our numbers this week, and we trimmed off some of the inactive players this week, and the last figure I saw is that we were at 388 tunes. And I don't know, I would estimate probably 340 or so individual accounts and 380 or 88 or so tunes. And so periodically I think we will, you know, kind of do that thing. We are not looking, quote-unquote, to be the biggest guild, but we do believe that in order to arrive at the end game with a sufficient number of players to raid on a regular basis, that we have got to start big, and we can trim as we go. And so we are still open. We are still inviting just about anyone who will come. We do not want drama. We do not want people who do not know how to respect others, and we do not want people who have been removed from the guild by the officers. But other than that, we are opening our doors and welcoming people still into the guild. But we, some of the officers have been talking about the future of the guild, what I'm about to say, I want to emphasize is although I am an officer, I'm not speaking on behalf of the officers. I'm simply relaying my viewpoint, and so please understand that. Don't take this as official word. But we talked a little bit about the guild's future, and just as my personal opinion from my years of experience in playing these games, you know, fundamentally there are two kinds of guilds. There are raid guilds who are very, very serious, who are place high demands on people, demanding that they sign on every night, be present at every raid, and then of course, you know, there are raid guilds with a little less intensity, but still, that, you know, that's what they are. They're just raid guilds. And then the other type of broad general guild is just kind of the easygoing, friendly kind of guild that, you know, may raid once a week or once every, twice a week maybe, but is just kind of easygoing. What kind of guild will we be in the end? Well, I don't ever see us becoming a hardcore raid guild, but we will be doing a lot of raiding in the end, and that is one of our objectives. But at the same time, we want to always have room in our family for lower level characters. We always want to have a family kind of atmosphere. We are here to enjoy ourselves, not to create stress, not to make inordinate demands on other people. And so, you know, walking that line, not going too far in either direction, becoming too casual or becoming too hardcore. That's kind of the course that I think, if I understand what I heard yesterday in the officers' discussion, I think that's the goal that we are aiming at. We want to be hardcore enough to make sure that everybody who needs or wants, you know, the best gear can have it, and yet friendly enough, again, to welcome even noobs to the guild. And so we'll see. We are moving slowly towards appointing specialty officers. There will be class officers. In other words, each class, rogue, mage, warrior, so forth and so on, will have a class leader whose basic responsibilities will be to help people develop in those classes, to lead those classes, and that sort of thing. We will have eventually a PvP leader, someone who will help us improve our PvP skills and organize PvP, and I'm going to have a few more comments on PvP in just a moment. We will have raid leaders, maybe at least one, but maybe two or three, and generally raid leaders are tanks or something of that nature, but we will have raid leaders. And yours truly, it has been kicked around, will be kind of the morale officer of the guild, and I will create special events excuse me, where the guild can gather and things of that nature, and I tell you, give you a kind of an insight sometime next week. I'm hoping to start announcing and to put into effect a guild scavenger hunt. And I'm working on the details of that now, but we'll see what happens along that line. So things are moving towards organizing. Most of our players are, you know, 30 to 40 range, or at least a lot of our guild members are, but we still have a good block of guild members below that. We have a few who are above that. We got a couple of peoples in their 52, 53 range now, and so things are moving along pretty rapidly, and we're developing, and I guess what I'm just trying to say is the officers are preparing for the future. We're working towards organizing the guild more. Really, around 40 or so, when you have the majority of the guild hit 40, that is the time that you really begin doing a lot of guild things together, and that sort of thing. Now, in that vein, in preparing for the future, and also to utilize today to kind of get used to it, basically there are three things that we are encouraging each member of the guild to do, and I'm probably talking to the converted. In other words, if you're listening to this broadcast, you are probably a person who already has these three things. I realize that, but we're trying to get the news out. There are three things that every guild member should have. One of them is vent, ventrilo. You don't have to use it every day. We understand that some people don't like to use it every day, but when we begin doing instances and raids on a regular basis, and especially raids, everybody needs to be on ventrilo. You just can't conduct a 10, 20, or 40-man raid typing. You need voice communications. The second thing is CT RAID. And again, not a lot of emphasis being laid on this yet, but when we begin doing the higher level instances and things of that nature, CT RAID will be a must. And the third thing that we have just begun to utilize is the Guild Event Manager. And this is a add-on that you can download from Curse Gaming. There is a link to this on our website, also a link there to CT RAID and Ventrilo. And when you put this add-on in, as we begin to schedule guild events on the calendar, you'll just be able to click in-game, see the calendar, know what's happening, where it's happening, who to contact, and things of that nature. Those are some things that I think are very, very important. Also, I mentioned that we have created a Horde guild on another server. Our primary emphasis in doing that is waiting for the expansion to play the new Horde races. But there's some activity going on. For the life of me, I can't remember this morning the name of that server, but if you go in-game, look at the guild tab, the guild information tab, you can see the name of the server there. I've got a character on it, but I can't remember the name of the server. I have just bad memory, I guess. But we did change. We started off on Thrall, but there were some server issues there, and so we did change servers. We're not on Thrall anymore. So do look that up in the game, and if you want to participate on that side. I want to talk a little bit. This is not the feature for today, as I said. Excuse me, for the feature today, I want to talk about group roles some, but I do want to talk a little bit about the Battlegrounds. I'm a little bit frustrated. Had a very frustrating night last night in the Battlegrounds. And I guess the most the easiest way to explain my frustration was being in Warsong Gulch, raising, you know, it's on that hill, and resurrecting there, and I look out on the battlefield, and what I see is a tight pack, a very, very tight pack of eight or nine red names running together. And every once in a while, you will see a green name, or maybe two, just plunge themselves into the middle of that pack, and of course you know what happens. They totally disintegrate because, you know, 8-2, just, you know, I don't care how good you are, you're just not going to survive it. And I just stood there. I stood there and watched that happen for a couple of minutes. And I'm just totally frustrated with and totally I don't know, I'm trying to be nice, just at how much the Horde cooperate, how they understand group tactics, how they stay together, and how little we and the Alliance do it. And, you know, the thing about this, I have a friend who plays the game, and I see the same thing on his server, and I'm wondering if it's an Alliance disease. I've been told that the Horde players, generally speaking, tend to be the more experienced MMO players. The Alliance players tend to be more casual. They tend to be younger. Maybe that explains it. I don't know. But, boy, it's frustrating. The key to any MMO, whether it's player versus environment or player versus player, is running together and fighting together as a pack. Now, fighting together as a pack does not mean that you get five players together and you all run into battle together and you each select a different target and go at it. Fighting together as a pack means everybody's on the same target and you take down one target at a time as a group. And, you know, five people on the same target will take down more targets quicker than five people each on their own target. And so we as the guild develops, I'm really looking forward to us appointing somebody who knows how to PvP, who knows how to teach people to do it, and looking forward to maybe us forming a PvP teams that can go in together, utilize Vent, run the same targets, and give these horde guys a run for their money. Quite frankly, last night, and I think I said it on Vent. Maybe I shouldn't. I was a little frustrated. I just said, my pride will not let me keep getting beat like that. I'm not going back in. So that's the way I felt. And I said it. I am frustrated that the Alliance cannot cooperate. It can be done. It's not beyond our ability. I mean, the Horde does it every day. I've only been in a couple of battlegrounds where the Alliance won, and both times it was because at least most of us got together and fought together and worked together. And so, anyway, that's just a little frustration. That's not the real focus today. I will say briefly in Warzone Gulf, I'm not a great player versus player expert. I've done some of it, but I'm not a great player. But in Warzone Gulf, the strategy is 7 or 8 guys. You got to control the other guy's flag room. That's all there is to it. You got to be able to go in there when you want. You got to be able to demolish whatever's defending it when you want. And so 8-2, 7-3, something like that. The second concept about Warzone Gulf, defense will not win Warzone Gulf. Defense never wins a battle. Patton said that fixed defenses are a monument to the stupidity of man. And offense wins wars. You got to take the enemy's ground. You got to control everything he owns. And that is the key to winning the battlegrounds. In a Wraithy, the key is to, number one, you got to keep the stables. You cannot let the Horde have the stables. As a minimum, my suggestion would be to break up into 2 groups, 7-man team, 8-man team, there's 15. Both teams are responsible for the stable. One team, in addition to being responsible for the stables, is responsible for the mine. The other team, in addition to being responsible for the stables, is responsible for the lumber mill. As a minimum, then, you should be able to control 3. Now, you adjust your strategy to how the Horde plays. If they all get together, then the 2 teams are right there, and they could get together and face it. If the Horde all get together, you can break off 3 guys and go take the other 2 nodes. Whatever. But starting out, the basic strategy should be 2 teams, both responsible for the stables, and then each team has its peculiar responsibility. Basically, that's the way that I think the game should be played. I'm looking forward to the day that we, as the Alliance, really begin to cooperate and really begin to play these battlegrounds. Because I really believe, I know that shamans are overpowered and things of that nature, but I really believe we have what it takes to master the battlefield. I really believe we have what it takes. It comes down to learning how to fight together. And that brings us to the feature article today. It applies not only to player versus player, but it applies to player versus environment. I want to talk about group roles. That's our feature for today. Basically, in every group, there are 3 roles. There is the tanking role, there is the DPS role, and there is the healer role. Now, there are some sub-roles, there are some hybrid classes, there are some kind of wild cards. You might break off and say there's a 4th responsibility, crowd control, but really, fundamentally, every group, now other groups may have a few extra roles, but every group is going to involve tanking, DPS, and healing. Those are your three basic fundamental roles. Tanks, that's warriors, paladins, and druids in bear form. Damage dealers, that's mages, rogues, and to a certain degree, warlocks. Healers, that's your priest, your shaman, your druid. And, listen up, paladins, you too. Paladins must heal. The way a good paladin holds aggro is by healing. That's the way a good paladin holds aggro. And I just have only seen one good paladin in this game. I'm so tempted to make a paladin and yet so loathing to do it. But anyway, so those are the three main functions. What does the tank do? The tank gathers aggro. Ideally, in a group, the normal situation in the group is that only one person is taking damage. That one person should be your tank. Every active mob that the group is on, the tank should engage that mob. He's not interested in DPS. We really don't care whether he does any damage at all. He'll have to do some, of course, to keep aggro. But the job of the tank is to engage every target and to make sure that every target is beating on him. Now, when that happens, the healer only has one person to heal. Okay, that's great. He's not having to worry about healing casters and other people and thus eating up his mana. And when that happens, all of the group can focus on a single target. I can't begin to say this enough. The first rule of MMOs is that the whole group is focused on one target at all times. Now, there are exceptions to every rule. I understand that. If you're very high and your targets are very low, then, yeah, you can break out and go wild. But generally speaking, the best groups, they're always focused on one target. And the tank, he may be switching targets in order to maintain and keep aggro. But that is the tank's job. You gather aggro. You reduce thereby the total damage that the group takes, and you help the group focus on a single target. Now, the DPS guys deal damage, and by doing that, you reduce how long the mob stays alive, of course. And the funny thing about DPS is that you have to control the damage you mete out. The idea is not to mete out as much damage as you're capable of. That is not the idea. The idea is to deal out as much damage as you can without creating aggro. That is the idea. So, ideally, what happens is your tank engages the target. Now, what does your mage do? He stands back and waits for a few seconds before he casts his first spell because he wants the target to really get mad at the tank, and then he begins pumping his DPS in. Rogues do not stand behind targets and backstab because when you do that, you're going to get the aggro, and it's harder to keep you alive than it is to keep a tank alive. Backstab is great. But you get behind a mob and you do enough DPS to hurt him, but not enough to take the aggro from the tank. And so DPS, these are the real damage dealers, but they control their damage. They do it in a logical way. And finding that fine line of doing enough damage but not too much damage is a challenge. That's part of learning how to play your class. And then, of course, the healer. Is the individual in the group who keeps the tank alive. That's his job, to keep the tank alive. That's his first and primary responsibility. When other people start taking damage, his first responsibility is to keep that tank alive. The group's existence, continued existence, depends upon keeping the tank alive. Numero uno responsibility. Then, if a rogue is doing too much damage and he's getting hurt, throw him an extra heal when you can. But keep the tank alive. That's your job. And then heal other people. So those are the basic group roles and functions. Now, there are, excuse me a minute again, there are hybrid classes. Your druid can tank. He can do a certain amount of DPS in feral form and as a caster, and he can be a healer. So the worst mistake that I see druids make is to say that I only do one of those things and I'm not available to do the other. The idea of a druid is that you are versatile. You look at your group's situation and you determine which of those roles you're going to operate in by what your group situation is. You do not say, I am a feral rogue, that's all I do, I never heal. Your group needs you to heal, you heal. That's what you do. And so that's hybrid class. Paladin, I emphasized a few moments ago, the way a paladin holds aggro is by healing. I think that's important. A paladin can be a tank. DPS, nah, not really. And healer, okay? So a tank or a healer. And I've seen so many paladins who will not heal. You know, I've seen paladins die when I'm playing a priest. I've seen paladins die screaming for the priest to heal them, and they have a full bar of mana. It drives me nuts when that happens. It's just not right. But anyway, paladins are a hybrid class. And, of course, so are shamans, but we're not really into our horde side yet, so I'm not going to talk very much about them. The wild card specialty classes, you got your hunter, your warlock, and of course the rogue has some specialty abilities and his ability to stealth, his ability to pick locks and things of that nature. I cannot say a lot about warlocks. I've seen them play, never played one yet. I will get around to that. I do know they have some specialty abilities. They have some DPS abilities. They have some AOE abilities. So they're kind of a wild card. They and the hunter, though, they have this specialty ability of having a pet. Pets who can tank, pets who can off-tank, pets who can do that sort of thing, but also pets who can get groups into a lot of trouble when they're not properly managed. I guess one of the greatest sins of pets is to break sheep when we've sheeped a mob, or to engage targets that don't need to be engaged. And so pets are a blessing and a curse. We have to work hard to keep control of those. But when used properly, pets are a wonderful asset to a group. They're the sixth man in a group, and therefore very, very useful when used properly. So warlocks, of course, have some specialty abilities in regard to being able to summon people to the group. Most important warlock ability, to be able to create soul stones so that if the group wipes, the healer can be raised and then raise everyone else. And then, of course, their dots, very specialty, a very special kind of DPS in relationship to the dots. These are the basic roles, the basic functions of group members, and whatever your class is, learn about what your roles are, learn about your wild card or special abilities, and use them. Briefly, again, by way of review, tank, DPS, healer, and then specialty or hybrid roles. Those are your basic three group roles and functions. Learn your class, learn what your role in the group is, and that's really, really important. And as I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the guild news, we will be creating class leaders. The job of the class leader will be to teach people in their classes their roles. And what I'm about to say is so important. Please listen to this. I'm probably, once again, talking to the converted. If you're willing to listen to this broadcast, you're probably open to being taught. Now, that is so important. Yes, I know you're playing the game to have fun, but be open to being taught. Be open to being learned, to being taught by someone, a more advanced character in the guild, how to be a better tank, how to be a better DPS individual, how to be a better healer. Be open to being taught. Be open to learning. Their MMOs have subtleties. And by subtleties, I mean that there are just these little subtle things that maybe your casual player doesn't see, that when you learn these little secrets, as it were, of MMOs, how groups work together, what the roles are, how to pull correctly, and I think maybe that's what next week's feature may talk about. When you learn these little subtleties, your enjoyment of the game goes up, you really understand why the group does what it does, why it targets, who it targets first, and so forth and so on, and it really increases the enjoyment of the game. So learn your class, be open to learning. Well, that's about it for today. I wish you a good Tuesday, and hopefully this evening we'll see you online. This is Quinzit signing off for Angels for this week.